capital will fly lower.
Blog Talk Radio.
During closing arguments in the trial of three white men charged with murdering Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. Before they were delivered, attorney Kevin Goff asked that his client William Roddy Bryan be tried separately from fellow defendants Greg and Travis McMichael.
Under the totality of circumstances, we believe that Mr. Bryan is entitled to a severance.
The suspects are accused of killing the 25-year-old Arbery while he was out for a jog. The CDC says COVID-19 has killed more Americans this year than last year. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
Numbers from Johns Hopkins show more than 392,000 people have died of COVID so far this year, compared to more than 377,000 in 2020, and there's still a month to go. Altogether, more than 770,000 Americans have reportedly died from the coronavirus, with new infections rising in 38 states. Some of the biggest surges are being seen in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Colorado, Idaho, and New Mexico.
The final report from outside lawyers and former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's misconduct investigation is now out. Assemblyman Tom Abenanti is on the Judiciary Committee and calls this a devastating condemnation, adding it's clear Cuomo used his office for personal gain.
At the end of his term, the ex-governor was acting more like a king than he was a public official.
The law firm Davis, Polk & Wardell handled the state assembly's probe. Its report now corroborates claims the former governor engaged in multiple instances of sexual harassment, fostered a hostile work environment, utilized state resources for his memoir, and wasn't transparent in reporting a number of nursing home resident deaths. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, I'm Lee Cadell, host of Reigniting You, the show that takes a positive, forward-looking approach to career transitions for Gen Xers and boomers every Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Whether you're looking to stay in the workforce, do your own thing, or retire or semi-retire, Reigniting You is your source for career transition advice, inspiration, and insight for what's next in your career and life. Join me Mondays at 7 o'clock a.m. here on KKNW to get re-energized, recharged, and reignited.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative toss weather. Outlook for Monday, well, after the morning fog burns off, we'll see mostly sunny skies with rain arriving later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 46, 47 degrees. Tonight, clouds and showers will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 44, 45. For Tuesday, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures around 48. Things will dissipate by Tuesday night. Mostly cloudy skies, less rain. Low temperatures down to about 40. For Wednesday, clouds with a slight chance of showers yet again. High temperatures around 49. For your Thanksgiving Day holiday, clouds and rain expected. High temperatures around 50.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Quick announcement before you meet Dr. Edward Bynum joining me here today, the author of a fantastic book. There's so much in this book. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to start, but I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good because his book is really good. You know, I just show up and read the book. They do all the work. He's the one that had to write it. But I'm really excited. And first, let me say hi to Benny, hi to Jacob, and Olivia. I know you're there as well. Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on. I want to make a quick announcement before I do a formal introduction. We're getting ready to move into the end of this year. And we've mentioned to all of you that our theme for next year is really simple. Every year we come up with cool themes. But this one, it's simple. It's 2022. It's all about you. And so when I say that, it's all about you, what I mean is you're going to be able to send us requests. you're going to be able to suggest what type shows you want. You've been doing that for 18 years, but you're going to be having more time to do it because it is time for us as we launch an anniversary year and our new technology to really honor every guest that's ever come through here, the powerful work they've done, the messages, the level of information, enlightenment, and knowledge that everyone has brought forth, and my very special guest today is in that category. You know, when you are someone that has a passion and a purpose for something, and you become that body of knowledge that the world looks towards for that information, it is of the highest regard. And that's why for me today, you know, when I'm talking about Dr. Bynum, I'm talking about a clinical psychologist. I'm talking about Chair of Behavioral Medicine at the University of Massachusetts Health Services in Amherst. And I'm talking about many, many, many more things. But what I'm talking about, too, is the journey we go on, especially when we're on the guided path of spirituality. And when we dig deeper and deeper and deeper, what is it we find in our truth? That's what today is about, as we get to really take that dive with him to talk about the African unconscious. We get to talk about our African unconscious, the black origins of mysticism and psychology, and believe me, they are deep. Many of you recently heard me talk about Sam, and I've shared a little bit about him. My friend, my coach, and I got to know up close and personal his family and his family of origin. And his family, he was the national champion table tennis player in Ghana, Africa. I got to know his mom, to meet his culture. I got to participate in it. And yet, I could never possibly understand it at the depth that it needs to be honored and respected. And I try. Today, when you look, and I look back at that experience as a very young age, to really meet the power of what we're about to talk about today, not just in the conversations, but in the essence and the cell of our origins and our humanity and our introduction into gratitude and caring for the earth and that level of integrity. See, that's what we're going to talk about today. That's the depth that this book, and yet we are shackled by our own fears that enable us to move forward in ignorance because that's what fear does. And today I have to honor this journey, this body of work. But when we're talking about African mysticism, we're talking about something very powerful, very ancient, that is at the core of who we are. And the longer we keep wanting to deny all of that, the more we keep separated from our true nature. Great to have you, Doctor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited about being here and being able to talk about some of these, in many ways, epic new ideas coming from the frontiers of not only science and medicine, but also the great traditional deep reservoirs of spirituality all across the earth. And they come together in this book. They come together in our time. And they come together during this very intense time in our history, in our society, in our culture. So I'm very excited and feel privileged to be able to talk about it.
I want to start at the get-go, if you don't mind. I've been doing this show for a long time, and I don't come from a place of being a journalist, or I come from a place of having a mission 18 years ago, and I dialed the wrong phone number, and here I am. And that mission hasn't changed. You know, there's no such thing as a wrong phone number, right? But here's what I love. I was at one of the weakest points of my journey. And what I realized about where I was then is I was so disconnected from my spiritual roots. I was so disconnected. I was struck by the opening of your book. May I read it?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. This is your dedication to my father, my fathers, the memory of my father, to my sons, and their daughters, to the spiritual destiny of the human race. That's one of the most powerful sentences I think I've ever read. Can we start by talking about that?
Yes. It was dedicated. A dedication came to me in a flash, and it was dedicated to my father, meaning father, my fathers who preceded me, and my own individual father. So the fathers of my lineage, cosmic, spiritual, ancestral, and familial. To my sons, I have two, their sons and their daughters. They don't have kids yet, but they're going to. And ultimately to the spiritual destiny of the human race, because that is my ultimate purpose, goal, definition, and trajectory in this book. And I do mean spiritual destiny of the human race. I try to bring together in this book not only our findings in contemporary medicine and science, including what goes on in our mother's womb and the process of evolution, but also the teachings of all, no exceptions, all the great spiritual traditions, that all human beings belong to the same great family. We're all brothers and sisters. And this is our real destiny. We are, in many ways, a species at war with itself. We can't seem to get around this notion. And we find it expressing itself on every continent. Sometimes in history it's been more intense than others. And right now we're having a really intense flare-up again. But I believe, because I am an optimist, we will get beyond this point, including the climate crisis that we are on right now, that we will find a way to get beyond that. You know, every time that there has been a major climate change on the Earth in the last several million years, that a new species of us has arisen.
Yeah.
A new species, a new variation on the theme. And right now, species that dominates the planet, us, are Homo sapiens, thinking man. But we're in a unique time, too, because we stand on the verge of potentially creating a catastrophe that would be very difficult to dig our way out of. There's that. But we are also, for the first time in the history of our species, actually stepping off the planet. Days of purely military and governmental exploration of space are giving way to the commercial exploration of space.
Yeah.
Think about the time between Wright Brothers, Kitty Hawk, and tinkering around in garages with the early automobile. And then 60, 70 years later, we're landing on the moon. Where will we be in a century?
Yeah.
So we are taking a quantum leap in our evolution. And we will need all the spiritual guidance from our great traditions that we can, from wisdom traditions of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, and they're not that different, particularly in their central mystical expressions. And that's no surprise because, as I point out in the book, Our African Unconscious, deep down we all have the same nervous system. So it's no surprise that we've all evolved different, on the surface, spiritual and mystical traditions. But when you actually look at the actual disciplines, they're remarkably similar. Because our nervous systems are the same.
Yeah.
And we come out of the same evolutionary origin in Africa, and we have moved this far. You know, our species, Homo sapiens sapiens, we've only been around for maybe 150 to 200,000 plus years ago. Before that time, variations of us walking around, also Metipicines and other Homo sapien types. And eventually they got either died off or got pruned out. Who knows? But we're the last ones here. And so we lived in Africa for millennia. Millennia. And then we began to move out like our earlier ancestors out of the continent to all the other continents on Earth. And we all looked pretty much the same until about 25 to 35,000 years ago. That's when so-called surface racial diversification occurred. Up until that time, for 150 to 180,000 years, we all looked like Africans. And I find that, and the fact that we all share the same deep spiritual paths, visions, desires, and tendencies, a very soothing and inclusive idea, a very affirming one, that all the great spiritual traditions point in the same direction, as does archaeology, anthropology, paleontology, population genetics, serological blood studies. They all point in the same direction. It's no longer a debate. Beyond that, the scientific consensus today, and is backed up by enormous amounts of pretty airtight data.
Yeah.
So if we can recognize that, if we can look in the mirror and see beyond our surface distinctions, which are beautiful and important, but they're transient, look into our deeper reserves, reservoirs, which is what every spiritual tradition tells us to do, everyone, the Christian mystics, you know, the Islamic mystics, the Hindu yogis, the Buddhist meditators, they all say the same thing. If we do that, if you do that, then there's a science behind that. You will come and you will come to that realization. And it is a very warm and reassuring realization. And it gives you pause for hope. It really does. Particularly when we're experiencing the kind of fragmentation that we are right now.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And this is not our first trip down the dissection of humanity pathway. You know, this is not our first trip down here. However, I think like you and like I feel that we are at a point now where we need a next level. And you know what I love about your book? I could have spent the whole hour with you going into detail about the part of the book that talks about medicine, mathematics, and astronomy. I could have spent the whole hour because you take us back to what I love to talk about, and that is how much wisdom demented, and then we get our forgetter. Like we have this forgetter, right?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I found myself, just as you've written about here, and I want to talk in more detail about it, is I found myself talking on shows about some medicinal remedies that Sam's mother taught me. Sam Hammond was my coach. And I don't know if Jacob's got a picture, Olivia's got a picture. You guys can put that picture of Sam up for me. But I met his mom. It's a very prominent woman. And she shared some remedies from the other day. And this is fascinating to me because the first time in 18 years, I'm talking about my experience, and some of which you've documented beautifully, and I'm going to talk about Egypt in a minute with you because I'm just, like, loving that. But you're documenting some things that are so important to our existence today, yet somebody like me, I try to talk about them on air, and I find Facebook doesn't want me to do the show because some kind of clause about medical something or other. And yet what I'm talking about is a documented corpse in history. Your book is brilliant with symbolism, documentation and facts, journeys forward, and I love what you talked about the fact that if we go back in roots, how many times is there a version of Mary in my, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Some people may say Ganesh, not so much, but what I'm trying to say is, how could we show such similarities and in today's world believe we are so different, Doctor?
Well, there's something about the human mind that needs to move around and differentiate. That's the job of the mind. It's to keep moving around. Any of you or folks who are listening to us, sit down and try to meditate. Go on to prayer, meditation. You'll find that your mind wanders all over the place. And that can be very frustrating if you're trying to make your mind more pointed and so on and so forth. But, you know, the mind is just doing its job. It's moving around. It's observing. It's calculating. It can't sit still. It's like a drunken monkey. You know? That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to compare, analyze, calculate, so on and so forth. But that's not all the mind does. At a deeper level, the mind also has the capacity for attention. Attention is the root of the mind. If you're involved in deep prayer and meditation, you realize that, even if it's difficult to sort of stay there. But the root of the mind is attention. You know, how many times as a speaker, someone gets up and says, "May I have your attention, please?" Right? It means I want your focus. I want your focus. Because when you have your focus, then you can do other kinds of things. Focus is like a laser. When you have your attention, you can do things with it. There's a statement in the New Testament of the Bible that Christ makes when he says, the lamp of the body is the mind. Okay? When the mind is single, the body is full of light. That's not only a philosophical statement, but that is a scientific and methodological statement. When the mind is single, the body is full of light.
Mm.
Well, learning how to do that in whatever way that your intuition brings you to it is well worth doing in your life. And that is rooted in many events that happen as our brains develop in embryogenesis or our mother's womb. From the very earliest eight stages in our mother's womb, there's a little line of what's called melanin in our mother's womb. And it has a direct current. Why is that important? Because as it stretches out, so to speak, it absorbs light. It absorbs quanta because it's dark. And it absorbs it and transforms it to higher states of vibration and expression. And that is the whole job that happens in our mother's womb. An epic journey in our mother's womb. And out of that little line develops the neural tube. Out of that develops our spinal line, our brain, our different organs, and so forth. So by the time of 9 months, roughly, the fetus has developed and is able to ready to come out and be on outside of the mother's womb. And I might add here that at some point, before we're born, by the way, before we're born, we are conscious. We're not conscious in the way that we think of ourselves now, but we are conscious in some way. And then we are born. And then we have our existence for X period of time. And then when we die and our brains stop, our hearts stop, we are still conscious for a certain period of time after that. Near-death studies observed hundreds of thousands of times in emergency rooms and so forth testify to that. So mm-hmm. We're conscious for a certain period of time before birth and a certain period of time after death, which is why the great spiritual traditions all say the fundamental reality is spirit and consciousness, not our bodies and not matter. And that has a scientific basis. I will emphasize that now. That has a clear, hardcore scientific basis. So again, the great spiritual traditions, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, Taoism, you keep going, and the great others are now pointing in the same direction. And we have to get beyond this fragmented stage we're at now and make ourselves focused. Because, again, as I said, we are about to step off the planet in large numbers in the next century.
Yeah.
And God knows what we'll find out there. So we need to have our act together.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. And you know what I love about this is, and I want to talk with you about this, because when I'm reading your book, I love the way you bring us on a journey that is so pictorial. I'm a visual, so I'm right there until I got to the page where you put in the mathematical formula, and then I was like, okay, I need to spend more time on that, you know, with Bentoff, I think. But as I went through this, you can feel the connection. See, this is different than intellectualizing a conversation with you, because this book and your presence in it is covered with the mysticism and the spirituality and the journey and the connection of origins that you're writing about. So what I'm trying to say, I'm sounding a little abstract. Let me see if I can put it into words a little bit. You know, there's some books that I read that are really amazing and very, I get information. And then there are some books I feel. This is a book that we feel. So why is that? Why is that? Because as you go through it and you take us on a pathway and you talk about, wait a minute, Kundalini, okay, that's right, spread of African mysticism. And, you know, Osiris. And so when we go on this journey with you, you beautifully connect the pathway. And see, that's what I want to ask you about. Because if something is so easily connected in its pathway and its truth, what are the challenges that you see us facing to embrace this? Because it's not going to be because you didn't write a book that explains it well. It's going to be something deeper. But boy, we are not going to succeed as a house divided.
No, we're not. I mean, we cannot succeed as a house divided against itself. As Lincoln said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And even more so now that in order to solve the ecological crisis, I can't stay in my backyard. We can't stay here in the United States. Other countries are doing things to the climate also. So we have no choice if we want to survive. It is a matter of survival now. It's a matter of survival.
Yeah.
We work together with it. And we cannot simply command another nation to do that. We can't. We don't have the resources. We don't have the moral presence to do that. And we don't have the resources to do that. And those other nations also require us. So we have to cooperate. Otherwise, we won't make it. Why that is the case, I don't know. But, you know, we have made it all the way from those early creatures of 6 million years ago, pre-human types of 6 million years ago, when we broke away from primate line, and then all through those different variations on a theme rising through evolution, you know, that because Ramirez and then all these different Australopithecines and all the different variations of the Homo genus and all the way till we got to ourselves. Each way, despite missteps, misalignments, mistakes, ultimately we made the right choice. And I believe we're going to make the right choice now.
Yeah.
Not that we necessarily know what the right choice is before time or have the fortune, but we will make it when we're there. And part of that is that our intuition. Our intuition tells us that in order for us to survive, I must embrace ultimately the humanity of someone else. Even if they don't look like me, sound like me, believe, because I believe spiritually, but there's something deeper that connects. And that deeperness is what I try to outline in this book, is our biological genetic inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, and our desire for transcendence. That desire for transcendence is rooted in our very biology, is rooted in our brains. We are constantly transcending ourselves. That is the kind of creature we are. That is the kind of creature we are. We're always transcending ourselves or seeking to. And that is what it makes us, on this planet anyway, unique.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, you know, I often imagined I had a great upbringing, a little bit dysfunctional. Well, you know, my mom committed suicide when I was young, but my stepmom was genius in the way she raised us. And, you know, I've often wondered, you know, along the way, and she would have us ponder things, right? She would have us ponder questions, right? If we ever asked her a question, she would ask us a question back. So we got to take this journey with a woman that had her first child at 12 and her second child at 13. And what we learned from this and so many other things from her background, her heritage, and especially where I grew up, is the world of possibilities. I, too, am an optimist. I live in I own a network called the Transformation Network, All Positive Talk. But when I read your book, I want to do something. And I want to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about it. And what I mean by that is when I say I want to do something, in my meditation, it's very clear to me when I ask to be guided. I ask every day, first of all, I pray one thing, please, please remove my fear-based thoughts. And then I ask, what is mine to do today? And I keep hearing more. But when we come back from break, there's something in the energy of your work that shows us a pathway to that. And I would love to hear your vision for that when we come back. But before we do, how do people get a copy of the book? How do they find out about you?
They can either, you can just go straight on to Amazon. Amazon is the easiest way, or you can publish your Inner Traditions.
Okay.
And it's for me, you can check me out on the website. But the best way to get the book, which, by the way, is now an audio book. It's not going to be an audio book, so you can just pop it into your, a playing device on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
And as you're going to work or wherever you're going, and listen to it that way.
But, love it.
Yes.
All right, and what's your website?
www.obeliskfoundation.com, like the Egyptian obelisk.
Yeah.
www.obeliskfoundation.com.
So when we come back.
Remember that image.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're watching on Facebook, you're getting the website coming across and much more information. When we come back, you know, what I love to talk with you about is what I like to call the connection map. Not the map that says connection map, because we are here today, and you've nailed it. You know, everybody likes to laugh at Greta Thunberg, and now she's getting threats to her family, this young child. But she will not go quietly in the night. And so what is it going to be for us as we look at our connectedness and not our differences that could bind us together? What are we going to talk about as written in this book that literally shows the pathway? Literally shows the pathway. Because without this ancient knowledge, without the ancient medicines, without the oils of Egypt, without Peru, without any of these things that have been brought forward, would we have really survived as a species? Would we have really survived? When we come back, we're going to talk about our connection. We're going to talk about the pathway that take us beyond the limits, as it says in the book, the limits of psychodynamic insight. And boy, did I learn about those in school. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you.
brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com. Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy O'Bear. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy O'Bear. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobear.com. That's drkathyobear.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Mac, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara company. I've been using the Volara company equipment, the air machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you go to MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Everybody, welcome back. Man, I got to tell you, I got Dr. Edward Bruce find him on the show today for an hour. I'm going to try to do my best. Benny, we do have a copy of the book to give away, okay? 1-800-930-2819. The book is called Our African Unconscious, The Black Origins of Mysticism and Psychology. And there's so much in the book. And, of course, you can go to Amazon, by the way, to get the book. And I love that there's an audio. I love that there's an audio version of this now, because I can imagine hearing this now. I mean, reading it, I'm almost like I'm transmuted to a different point in time.
Well, part of that, I should say,
yeah,
in full disclosure, that the part of that is that I come from the oral tradition, and I'm also a poet. So those two kind of like come together, and that may be some of what you're picking up on. in terms of language. And,
Yeah. And, you know, and that's what makes this so wonderful, because we have to learn. My mom used to say, in her, I can't do a great Southern drawl, but, you know, she used to say, you know, girls, before my brother came, three girls, you all have a forgetter. You forget. And she would talk about that in terms of society as time went on, up until her death, actually, very sudden death. She would talk about it. And I want to ask you this. Take us on the journey of the template. Take us on the journey, folding as it is, and what we can openly remember about ourselves when we hear you talk about the African template.
Well, we should say that in many of the ancient traditions of wisdom in ancient Greece, Rome, Egypt, the Middle East, Asia, that wisdom was a matter of not discovering things, but rather remembering. Plato and Socrates talked about wisdom as remembering something that was forgotten a long time ago. And so we have a concurrence between our biological evolutionary development over the last 6 million years, and what in many ways is recapitulated, repeated, in the great journey in our mother's womb. And when we come out, those two streams have sort of come together. And if we're fortunate, we have the opportunity to learn and develop our brains, our minds, our nervous systems. And that is part of learning wisdom traditions. Knowledge is not always what we think, not always what we can speak. If you've ever had a little kid, given birth to one or raised one, brother, sister, whatever, before 2 years old, 12 months or 2 years old, you can see them thinking. They're reasoning something out, and they're thinking clearly and intelligently. But they're not using words, are they?
No.
They're not using language, but they are thinking. And then after 2 years old, roughly, our thinking, our language, and our thoughts become so integrated with each other that it's hard for some people after a while to understand that thinking, or our system, their language, is not the same as their thinking. It's not the same as their thoughts. And the great job of meditation is to begin to separate those so that you can remember your original wisdom. Your original wisdom. I don't think it's any accident. I didn't explore this too far in the book, but I don't think it's any accident that most children who have memories of prior lives, you know, the research done by Dr. Ian Stevenson, University of Virginia Medical School, thousands of cases, corroborated cases of very suggestive of reincarnation. Well, these memories start fading very quickly after 3 years old. Why? Because the forgetter, as you're calling it, steps in. The forgetter's often the family, often the cultural zeitgeist that says, don't talk about this sort of stuff. And so the child begins to forget their prior knowledge was. Well, a similar phenomenon happens in wisdom. We forget that, you know, we're not the only age of human beings who knew something. The ancient Egyptians knew something. 10,500 years before Christ, they erected a sphinx and looked directly into the vernal equinox in the spring, constellation of Leo the lion in the vernal equinox. That's pretty precise.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, totally.
That's no accident.
Yeah.
You know, the lion body, head of a man, into the constellation of Leo, 10,000 times a year. And the ancient Kemetic Egyptians said that is when their civilization was. They refer to that as the time of Zeptepi, the time, splendid time of the first time. So in deep meditation is possible to remember that. It is possible to remember that. You have to learn how to disassociate yourself from your contemporary mind, which can be done. It takes discipline, but it can be done, and allow the deep reservoirs of memories and flashes and intuitions, often coming in dream states and others, to arise. Mm-hmm. And you can figure that out. You can actually see it. So much of this is forgetting and then remembering again. Yes.
I want to ask you about the world we live in today. I mean, and so much, in my view, gets healed when we can break down the barrier of differences. And so much gets healed. And I know this because I've done some healing work along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believe that we have gone down the path too far to repair. I'm an optimist. I don't believe that. I've been down these paths before where, you know, for me, back like in 60-something or 70, I thought that was a path too far. I mean,
I remember.
Yeah, like when you're standing in a protest college dorm and the guy next to you gets shot, you know, you're thinking that is a path that we cannot repair.
Right.
But I think that is a limitation that our mind plays. That is that psychodynamic nature I think you reference in the book, where we underestimate our potentiality, right?
Yeah, we're limited to our current time in history, and we forget that there were darker periods in human history that human beings, through discipline, work, belief, and transformation, came through, and not only came through, but triumphed. And that is the nature of our species. That is the nature of our species. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is built into our nervous system. I do. Because of the onward unflowingness of evolution itself. The embryo goes from a primitive state to a more articulated state in our mother's womb. And the brain gets more complex and so forth. The same happens when we're outside of the womb. The same thing happens in societies. Okay? So species is constantly seeking transformation. And our great religions have all come at a time when the human species is at a crisis point. And then some great teacher, some great avatar, appeared on the scene.
Yeah.
It could be Muhammad, Jesus the Christ, Krishna, the Buddha. They appeared and they brought a new vision, a new transcendent vision of our species. And it built upon what was there before it and added to it and opened it up enormously. Well, I believe that we're at a similar time now, again, because of the crisis we're in climatically and otherwise, and the fact that for the first time we are stepping off the planet again.
Yeah.
So we're in a different stage of our evolution. We have to rise to the occasion. We have to rise to the occasion. And there will always be darker forces pulling us back. There will also always be fear and trembling and alienation and doubt and lack of faith and a sense of terror that grips our inner being. And that's when you take a leap of faith. That's when you take the leap of faith.
I totally get it. And, you know, let's just put things in perspective, you know, from the book. What I love is when you talk about we're stepping off, right? So when you go back, people that left one region of where they live to the next one was the equivalent of us going to the moon.
Yes, it was.
And if we have to think like that, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
But that's the way, think about it. Coming over here on a boat, that was like stepping off.
That was off the world. That was like, you know, the folks who came out of Africa and they went up into the Middle East and they went up to Europe. They didn't know it was Europe. They just knew it was out there.
Right.
And they adapted to climate change, their surface physiognomy changed, but they remained the same species on the inside. Those who went in the eastern direction, when they went up to the Middle East and then up to Southeast Asia and then across the island chains, and they eventually got to South America, up in the island chains when the ice age sucked up all the water and made the islands provided a pathway. They didn't know that was South America.
No.
They just knew that they were impelled by some internal force to do this.
Yeah.
And we're the same creature. We are their progeny. And now we are about to do that with the vast reaches of interstellar space.
Yeah.
We have to develop a consciousness commensurate with that expanded view of ourselves, our minds, our souls, and our consciousness. And I tried to outline very clearly, as much as I could, in our African unconscious, the black origins of mysticism and psychology, how the mystical origins became the science of psychology, and how we are still in the process of transformation, and that we have to continually remember to say...
You know, I know we only have a few minutes left, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. I am fascinated by what we're calling the Dead Sea Scrolls now.
Mm.
I don't know if we'll continue to call them that. Something so profound is talked about so little. I've kind of wondered about this. But, you know, your book explains why we're not talking about it, pretty much. But it's another piece of a puzzle, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's another piece of a puzzle. And all roads leads home, and what I grew up with understanding about that is the home that my mom talked about was our true nature, us discovering the truth of who we are.
Yes.
And in the time we have left, I would love to hear your vision. I would love for you to share, when you look ahead, do you see, Doctor, when you look ahead, what do you see?
I see the coming together of science, medicine, with our ancient spiritual traditions, the recognition that we literally are luminous beings, beings of light. I tried to explicate that in several chapters in the book, talking about neuromelanin, embryogenesis, those scientific ideas. But the basic idea is that our nervous system is designed to be guided by light. Our nervous system is designed to be guided by light, absorbing quanta and information. From the day, the first hours after conception, we have a quantum relationship with the universe, which, by the way, expands throughout the universe, the quantum. And at the moments of death and beyond, we re-emerge into that more fully. So we are quantum beings. We are luminous beings. And our science is now at the point where we can verify that.
Mm.
We can actually verify that in hard scientific and medical terms, which is what I tried to do here. Because we are on a transformative journey. It is an epic shift in not only our consciousness, but the consciousness of this planet. And our destiny is yet to be made. It is somewhere in the stars. We're going to look back on this someday. We're going to look back on this someday. We're going to recognize that this was the childhood, the infancy of our species.
Mm.
Made it through.
No kidding. I mean, it's not a surprise to me that after decades and decades, this year the Pentagon released its special report. And that special report, the release of this information was buried in a bill that was passed last year, right? It was a little thing in there that says, you got to release all the UFO stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't quite put like that. It was put a little bit more legalistically. But the point was, it released information.
Yes, it did.
That had been locked up in jail for saying they experienced, right?
Yes.
Don't you wonder?
I think the Pentagon has known for a long time, and in an attempt to protect us,
because
we weren't ready,
no.
We weren't ready, And they probably sat around and correctly decided it would take three generations for us to get our act together so that we don't flip out.
Yeah.
And it's now. Now, if you came out with a report on NBC or CBS, you'd find the vast majority of people would say, yeah, we kind of knew that. Right. Because we're now at the point where it's like we've had enough, quote, movies, unquote, television shows, unquote, books to sort of plant it and normalize it. And so they can sort of admit it. But if that had been acknowledged back in 1948, I'm sorry.
No.
It would have been a crisis on the planet. So
they
make the correct decision
that,
you know, it's going to take probably three generations, and then we can sort of like let it out. And they're letting it out. It's just reading between the lines. And other nations, like Russia, Mexico, other countries have said, they're here. It's only here in the United States that we haven't come out officially totally and said, So it's here. We are an interstellar species, we want to be. We have been groomed for this for a long period of time. And I think that we're at the point now where we are almost mature enough to do this. If we will listen to our great spiritual traditions and take them seriously, take your spiritual tradition seriously about all human beings are the same. We're all brothers and sisters. There's no need for this fragmented, hostile, whatever, to recognize our deeper template identity in our consciousness. That will allow us to expand that consciousness considerably and prepare for the next stage in the evolution of our species, which we're preparing to do.
Thank you so much for today. I want to thank you, first of all, for joining me here today. I could have gone on and on and on, and there's so much in here. I will make sure I reach out to Ashley so I can have you back if you would come back in a future date.
Absolutely.
My gosh. Thank you for everything you're doing, and thank you for reminding us of the power of optimism and spirituality.
Yeah. Thank you very much
for that. Wow, let's take a short break. Everybody, we'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, the statewide silver alert plan is still in effect. If you have seen a black Mitsubishi Eclipse with Washington license plate AQE5525, that's Washington State license plate AQE5525, please call 911 immediately. Other than that, traffic not looking too bad. We still have a little bit of slowing just before the I-90 interchange on I-5 northbound as you're heading into downtown Seattle. But again, everywhere else, traffic's looking pretty good. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and relationship experts and power coaches coming up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Wisconsin health officials say children have been treated after the deadly incident at the holiday parade in Waukesha. An SUV driver tore through barricades and slammed into crowds yesterday, killing five people and injuring more than 40 others.
18 kids were brought to our children's emergency department, ranging from ages 3 to 16 years of age, which include three sets of siblings.
Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Emergency Department Medical Director Dr. Amy Drendel said injuries range from facial abrasions to broken bones and serious head injuries. Pediatric ICU Medical Director Dr. Michael Meyer says 10 were admitted to the ICU, with 6 in critical condition, 3 considered serious, and 1 in fair condition. The other 8 patients are said to be in fair condition. President Biden will announce the nomination of Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell for a second term during a White House event today. CNBC senior economics reporter Steve Leisman says the nomination makes sense.
There's a continuity to it that I think the markets are applauding today. They know what the policy has been laid out by Powell, and the market just likes that kind of certainty and hates uncertainty.
Biden put out a statement saying he'll also nominate current Fed Governor Lael Brainard as vice chair. Biden was said to be considering both Powell and Brainard for the top job before settling on Powell for for another term. A White House statement cited enormous progress in the economic recovery and praised decisive action by the Fed to help get the economy back on track. Intense security preparations for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City are in the works. Scott Pringle reports.
Mayor de Blasio was asked about the Christmas parade in Wisconsin over the weekend.
It's tragic and horrible what happened in Wisconsin, but I will tell you, NYPD for years and years has planned for very careful security around the parade.
He says there's no specific or credible threat for the Thanksgiving Day parade. Included in the multi-layered security effort are large blocker vehicles like sand-filled dump trucks and sanitation trucks to prevent a vehicle from getting onto the parade route.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Don't wait to put an end to junk sleep. Shop Mattress Firm's Black Friday sale and wake up a better you. Save up to $500 when you get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for twins. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying Sealy purchase up to a $499 value. Or shop Tempur-Pedic, the most highly recommended bed in America, and save up to $500 on adjustable mattress sets. Unjunk your sleep. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying on purchase. Restrictions apply. See details at mattressfirm.com.
Oh, Total Wine, oh, Total Wine, how wondrous a selection. Wine, gift galore, and so much more, and else to answer questions. Wine, spirits, beer, wine, spirits, beer, how lovely are the prices here.
Come explore your new savings wonderland. Total Wine and More is now open at the Tacoma Mall. Drink responsibly, B21.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life black. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I think I'm too hot on my mic, right, Benny? Do I need to pop that back a little?
Well, you're always a hot gal anyway, so, you know, I kind of anticipate that coming out the gates these last almost 20 years, so we're good, though. We're good, we're good. Okay.
I got the red on, too.
See? More fuel for the fire.
Right. Yeah, because I knew who I was going to be talking with today, right? I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get to work with some of the most incredible people, just like you do, Benny. I mean, for those of you that don't know, Benny starts his day like early, early in the morning, and he runs a series of shows 5 days a week. So it starts like early 6 or 7, and he goes right to, and he runs these shows, and he works with a wide variety of people. And, you know, I get to do that too, especially as we bring people forward on the network. And what I love is I love the way the laws of the universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, align things. And that's why today I'm really excited to introduce you to this audience, and I know you've heard them before, but I never miss a show. And joining me here today, relationship experts. I think that's where I got the red on. Relationship experts and power couple, Coach Martez and Wadrina Layton, LPC, joining me here today. Now, let me tell you about them. They have a hit show on the network. It is a show that you're, for me, if you're multitasking and you hear them, what you're doing, you're like multitask, and then one of them will say something, you're like, what? What did Wadrina just say? And here's what I love about today. We're going to be talking about many things, but under the umbrella of a blessed affair, as well as understanding what each of us could learn about ourselves. This is what they do. Learn about ourselves and learn how to rise ourselves up and understand that when we are in relationship with another, there is an honoring to a process. There's a pathway. There might be destruction followed by forgiveness, or there may be forgiveness followed by destruction. But whatever that is, Coach Martez and Madrina, they will help you take care of it. You think maybe, oh, I just cheated. Okay, no, don't do anything drastic. Call them. Right? That's what you want to do before you, like, first of all, cheat again. But if that's what it is, or you're thinking, I'm not feeling the love. We got to bring Donna Summer back. Well, okay, then you need to coach Martez with Trina. Right? But whatever you do, this power couple, they're going to come from a place of love, fact, coaching, directness, all in the spirit of keeping you all on track. Welcome to both of you. Welcome to the show. It's exciting to have you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Dr. Pat. We love you. Yeah. Thank you for having me here.
I got to tell you, I love the show that you both do. And I love it because, and this is what I want to ask you, I love it because you're real. Like, I just show up. I didn't go to, like, radio school or journalism school or whatever. I came from the school of life. You're coming out of the gate to you. I know both of you came from the school of life, and I want to ask you, what's the greatest lesson? I would say it start with Coach Martez, Madrina. Should I do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. What is the greatest lesson you learned, Coach, from the school of life to bring you here in this very moment?
Wow.
Who knew, right?
Well, that's a great question, Dr. Pat. I remember years ago, you know, even when I had failed myself, and one of the things that God had really put in my spirit was never judge what you don't understand. And so for me, one of the things that gives me so much compassion for people, regardless of where you are in your transition, regardless of what you've done, one of the things I realize is just because I may not understand how you got there or I may not understand your decision in it, what I could do is just take my eyes off of what you've done and just realize you're just in transition. So one of the greatest lessons is never look down on people, never judge what you don't understand, and just be willing to bring the best out of anyone you meet. And that's the way I live, regardless of who you are. There's always good in somebody.
It's going to be so much fun today. I'm not saying anything because I want to go to Adrena.
Okay, because that was good.
Go ahead. I got to know from you, like, the life lesson. What got you schooled?
Yes, that life lesson that got me schooled, what I learned is grace, walking in daily grace. Because for me, with everything that we've gone through in life, you know, God has shown me so much grace. So from that, I've learned that I have to show others that. I have to walk in that. Because, you know, sometimes I can find myself being hard, you know, on others. So with everything that I've gone through and how God has forgiven me for all of my faults, I've learned that I have to walk in this daily grace, not only with Martez, but even with other people that I meet every day. It's like, just show some grace. You know, everybody is not going to have a perfect day. You don't know what people are going through, so don't judge. Just show some grace.
I'll tell you what, when I put that book together, I think it's powerful because people are really on the edge. Yeah. I mean, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get an email from somebody that's so over the top on the edge. And, you know, where we go to, if I might piggyback on what you said, is I'm finding if we could learn a little grace, we wouldn't go to blaming people. We wouldn't go to shaming people. You know, I learned a lesson early. I want to just share this with you for a minute. I was always a curious kid. I always had a lot of questions. I didn't have a lot of answers, and I stuttered. So you can imagine how long the question took to come out of my mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I asked some interesting questions. And to most people, they'd be dumb. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking like it was either one of the nuns or I think it was one of the nuns in Catholic boarding school, which I got kicked out of at like 7 years old. But I remember asking the question, and I never got an answer. And I said, I don't, why would Jesus go in the desert for 40 days? You know, what? I don't understand why he would go in the desert for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And why did it take him so long to commit himself to God? Like, why did he have to be tempted in the desert for 40 days? I mean, and I remember saying this, I remember saying, I don't think he ever went to Bible school. I don't think he knew what he was doing. Now, here's where we are. All of us should be able to ask out of our curiosity. Because if we don't, and I just gave that, but I've been asking those questions all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lot of people, they look at you like, what is, you don't know the answer to that. But here's where I'm coming from with you both.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not I thought 40 days was too long or too short, I really knew I wasn't going to fast for 40 days, but it didn't matter. Or whether I thought that I could talk to my spirit, or whether I thought I could know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know from you both, what is at the core essence of your truth? See, my truth is about a lot of questions and about a lot of things till I get to the point where I can feel it in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
What is the truth in your heart about your vision and your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you're fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from, and what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Adrena, we're going to start with you now, right?
Oh, wow.
You know, see, God is at our core. God is at my core, and he's at Martin's core, too. But basically, the fire from it comes from knowing that this is purpose, knowing that this is something that we're called to do.
Yeah.
You know, everything we go through, you go through for a reason. There's purpose in everything we go through. That is something that ever since my, you know, like you said, blessed, ever since the infidelity, that's something that that has become true to my life. There is purpose in everything. So for me, it's like, even if it's something bad, it's purpose in it. You can find purpose in it. So basically for me, the fire comes from knowing that God, this is something that God has called me to do. God has called me to strengthen, restore marriages and families. So that's where my passion comes from for what I do. It's, I'm purpose driven.
You think?
We're
the three of us, right? Well, anybody ever question, they may not always know where I'm going, but there's nobody going to question that we're like fired up about it. Coach Martez, how about you?
So for me, mine even goes back to my childhood. Of course, like I tell everybody on the show, I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. I grew up in the hood without a father. The three women that raised me was my mother and both of my grandmothers. So for me, one of the things I always longed for as a child was to have a father and was to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I told my mom young as a kid, you know, I'm going to get married young, mom. I'm going to have a family. It's like family was always something that I longed for. And so for me, at my core, I believe marriage represents who God is or who Christ is. I just believe that. Marriage represents forgiveness. Marriage represents unity. Marriage represents legacy. Marriage represents faith, passion. So for me, I tell people, when I hear things through the Spirit, I see it through the lens of marriage. I mean, when I read scriptures, most of the scriptures I read is going to, I'm going to read the scripture, but in my mind, it's going to be filtered through the way this relates to a couple. And so for me, at my core is marriage, it's family, and it's understanding that this is a part of God's plan. And I definitely believe that there is a person God has assigned to your life to help you achieve the destiny that he's spoken to you. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe this is the woman that God brought for me. I tell people, yeah, I don't believe there's another woman on the planet. And I know we can debate and talk about that. I don't believe there's another woman on the planet that could have walked with me through the sands of pain and suffering that Wadrina has. I believe she was breathe upon to walk with me. I just believe that.
Yeah,
not only there's a person, but every person.
And I love that you brought that up, because that brings us to talking with you all about the old connection you have. And like people say, I got to have what they have, right? I got to have. Now, there's a story and a journey that goes along with that, right? But the onset of that, it was your heart that was deeply embedded in a spiritual connection that is soul deep.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so deep, soul deep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was that, online dating? I'm only kidding. No, seriously. You know, you had to know at some level when you met, right?
That is true. It was more like a spiritual, because like Martez says, God told him that's your wife. See, for me, I knew that he was my husband, because for me, the way I felt about him, I hadn't felt about no other person I had ever met before. And then we shared the same core values as far as God, family, faith. You know, we shared love. You know, we shared the same core values. So those were the things that drew me to him in the beginning. You know, of course, as we grew in our spiritual walk, we began to learn that we were destiny partners. And, you know, that's as far as where we are now, just knowing that our where God has taken us, our goals and dreams and purpose is all aligned.
Mm.
But we didn't know that till later on. But when we first met, it was that spiritual connection and those core values.
And I also tell you something funny, Dr. Pat.
Yeah.
Because I joined the military at 18 years old. And so I went to Norfolk, Virginia. The USS John F. Kennedy was my first duty station. Well, Wadrina lived in Norfolk, Virginia, which is the largest naval base in the world. And that place is known, as they would say back then, they would talk about the Navy men. Actually, they used to just call them Navy dogs, because you can't trust them. They just going to do you any type of way. So honestly, when I met Wadrina, it was only like 2 months. I was getting ready to go out to sea. I actually gave her my debit card. I gave her the keys to my new car. And everybody on the ship I was on, which was about 3,000 people on an aircraft carrier, and I used to get Joe, you gave her your car key? Oh, my God, she's going to be riding with Jody. You know, because they called Jody the guy that when you went out to see your girl will be with. Oh, my God, she's going to be with Jody. She's going to take all of your money out your bank account. But I'm just saying, literally, at 18 years old, I knew this was a woman that God said, she's going to be your wife. So I put my word and I put my faith behind it, because literally she had the keys to my car and she had my debit card to really, she could have really caused some destruction if she really wanted to.
But, you know, this is what I'm talking about, because none of this leads you to where we are today. And where you are today, and if people don't know this, you know, I want them to know, first of all, you know, you do a show and you bring these conversations, you know, the realness to it, the heart connection, and you don't hold back.
No.
You don't hold back. You talk about your own journey. You talk about your ups, your downs, your sideways. And I think that's what's so important. Mm-hmm. You know, Katrina, I want to ask you this too, because it's important for people to know you're just not talking from some book. You didn't pull like a book off the shelf and say, here we are.
Right.
You went through the ups and downs yourselves,
yes.
Right?
Right.
And the story of Blessed Affair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. What do you say? Be careful what you
curse. Be careful what you curse.
Your curse could be your blessing.
So I'm going to ask you, how's that played out in your life?
Oh, the Blessed Affair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, there's purpose in everything. So, you know, for me, that was a whole shift for me. When we went through the infidelity and healing from the infidelity, it was very emotional. And it's like you said, that's how I got to where I am now. I was looking for someone who had been through what I was going through, who was also a professional. And I called around and I was asking, and I couldn't find nobody with all three. So the Spirit of the Lord said to me, you're going to be that person for other people who are going through what you're going through. Like I said, there's purpose in everything. So it turned out to be a blessing, because through all of that pain, our mess turned into our message, and we're here today. But believe you me, it was a lot of pain, but it was a blessing because my husband turned into the man of God that I was always wanting him to be, because before then, he'll tell you, he was a totally different person, and he made a 180-degree turnaround. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like he changed, and it was for the better. So it turned out to be a blessing in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became what I am now, because I went back to school to better equip me to be able to help others through it.
Yeah, and I love that we're talking about this, because mm-hmm. each of us, you know, we got bumped up against something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're bumped up against something, you know, you could either bounce off it and bounce back, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or you could bump up against something, like I said before, either the windshield or the bug. Some days you feel like the windshield, some days you feel like the bug.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's like an old school song, but when you hear it, you're like, wait a minute, okay, I'm feeling a little like the bug in this marriage right now, right?
Yeah.
And you're like the windshield. I mean, so mm-hmm. you're bringing us to the table to understand what truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an idea in this world that I believe is so greatly misunderstood, I do believe it's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk with each of you about it, because each of you have had to go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Martez, I want to kick it back to you on this if I could.
Yes.
Forgiveness is completely misunderstood. You know, when you tell a woman that's just been raped, you need to forgive, like, without, like, explaining the nature of it,
mm-hmm.
you're pretty much going to throw something at you.
Right.
But you both have had to go through the fire. That's why I wore red today.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go through that fire.
No, that's so true.
What have you learned from the fire of forgiveness, Coach?
What have I learned from the fires of forgiveness? That's a great question, Dr. Pat. One of the things I can say I've learned is that they're faithful. That's one of the things I say. You know, in other words, what I mean is, just because you mess up, it's not like all of a sudden now, because you messed up, you still can't receive something that he's promised you.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, my failure doesn't mean I have to forfeit what he's promised me or what he's blessed me.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I've learned in forgiveness, because before I had the affair and cheated on my wife, that was blessings and promises that I had in my heart. And so what I learned through forgiveness is just because I failed, I don't forfeit those promises.
Yeah.
And that was the same thing I talked about in the book. You know, one of the things God said to me was, he simply asked me, can you forgive Wadrina the way that I forgive you? That's all he simply asked me. God just simply said, can you forgive Wadrina the way I forgive you? And so what he was just asking me again is, when you wake up, do you feel guilty? And I'm like, no. Do you feel ashamed? No. Do you feel like what you've done, you don't deserve? No, because I know you still love me. So that's something else that I've learned through forgiveness. Forgiveness takes you to a place, like, I know some people may say, man, how can you look at your wife after being with another man and all you see is just love and your future? Mm-hmm. I say, because what I see is it's a promise and I don't see the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So what forgiveness does, forgiveness allows you to go to a place to where the pain that you've been through, that doesn't necessarily have to stay connected to the promise of your future. So
mm-hmm.
that's for me. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just so thankful that God says, you failed or you messed up,
mm-hmm.
but you don't forfeit what I promised you.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what he promised us back in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't know the journey of what it was going to take to get here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the declarations of God's promises are so important to keep in the forefront. And we often forget the I am part of the I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my stepmom must be like psychically coming through, because every show I mention my stepmom. So there's obviously something that I'm supposed to hear or change or do whenever she comes through. But she would always say, don't forget there's always two sides to every coin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so growing up, we just, whatever you just said, that one and you make your bed, you sleep in it. We got that one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But from your perspective with Rena,
mm-hmm.
there are two sides.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, for me, and I want to just hear it from you,
mm-hmm.
forgiving myself,
mm-hmm.
man, I'm still working on that. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, and I know that was something that for me was challenging in the beginning, but what I did is I just really studied on it. It's very, well, you know, because I know you mentioned earlier forgiveness can be a challenge for some people, and it can be, but I found it easier for people who have a God core, because when you're able to really, or either, you know, some type of spiritual core, because when you're able to connect with God, for me, I was able to really study God's grace and be able to receive God's grace. And once I was able to receive God's grace and just see how much he loves me and how forgiving he is towards me, it helped me with forgiving myself.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like I quickly forgive my, if I make a mistake, I apologize, I repent, and I forgive myself because I know God forgives me. So that's really what helps me, just knowing how much he loves me and that he's forgiven me, I'm able to walk in that grace and forgiveness because they go hand in hand.
Yeah, I love that. You remind me of a time when I was into confession. I have a very eclectic background. I've shared some of it, like mm-hmm. both the Catholics, the Southern Baptists, mm-hmm. and a bunch of other things. But I remember being in confessional one day, and I had to confess something. And I remember sitting in there and saying to the priest after you do your whole confession thing and saying, you know, I have to tell you this, but I got to tell you, I don't think I did anything wrong. And I said, I went through and I said, I've been eating meat on Friday for like years because my stepmama told us they were fried clams, but they were chitlins. And the priest went through and gave me like a ridiculous amount of Hail Marys and Our Fathers because that's a Catholic religion.
Right.
And I remember him doing that, and I remember saying to him, I'm not doing those. I'm sitting in the little box, and he's all done, and I'm like, I didn't know that. I mean, why are you doing that? And I remember having this debate with him about it for like, I mean, the line was forming, and people could hear me, and I'm a kid, and I remember like having this debate with him and not letting him get a word out edgewise, and then I was finished, and he said, I didn't give you any penance for that. I gave you penance for the other 10 things you confessed. Oh. Let's take a short break. When we come back, what are you harboring? What do you got? What do you got inside of you? What is inside of you that you're not letting your faith, your trust, and your perseverance? What is that inside of you that you're not willing to look at for the shame, for the pain? And do you realize the impact it has on your life? When we come back, we're going to talk about that in a fabulous book, A Blessed Affair. We're going to talk about the perspective that you can shift.
Mm-hmm.
Take some advice from Coach Martez and Katrina. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the Walk of Life. We're going to tell you about how you find out about them, how you listen to them. But think about this now. Something like just inside you, maybe it's like small, but you know you have not forgiven yourself for it. You know it. You know we're talking right here now. You know it. You're feeling it. Like, I bet you're hot flashing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet?
Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Can you truly say that you know and love yourself? Corny Cottrell is an author, speaker, and 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy, here to encourage you to take back your power and live your life with intention and purpose. Tune in to Unapologetically Favored every fourth Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Walk in your purpose. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Corny.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
And I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. As I said before, here's what we've got going on. Relationship expert, power couple coach Martez and Wadrina Layton joining me here today. They team up, and what you get when you put them both together is you get a lifetime of knowledge and experience and some skill sets. You know, you get coaching, you get counseling, and what you get is solution. Also, today, I'm going to show you a little bit about how to get a copy of the book, The Blessed Affair. We're going to talk about that. They like tips to stay married for life. And then we're also going to get some insight on something beautiful they've created, which is the Married for Life Walk. But before we do all that, what is the best way for, one, people to find out more about you, how to work with you, and how to get a copy of the book? Who wants to give us that information?
Really?
Okay, so to work with us, our website is dreambuildercoaching.net. You also can find us on Facebook. It's Dream Builders Marriage Coaching and Counseling on Facebook. And as far as the book, you can get the book from our website. There's a link on our website to get the book. You can also just Google A Blessed Affair because it's sold on Amazon. Anywhere books are sold, it's sold as well. To get in contact with us, Instagram is at Coach West. Just to connect with us, at Coach Martez on Instagram, at Wadrina Layton on Instagram, on Twitter, at Coach Martez, and then at Wadrina L for me.
Awesome. And tell us about the show.
Oh, our show is the Coach Martez and Wadrina Layton show. It airs at 3 p.m. Eastern right here on Transformation Talk Radio. And,
accepting love, understanding truth, and
changing your perspective. And you will get tips that you can use in life, you know, with any, not only in your loving relationship, but even in your relationships with your family and friends. You know, we do know that the information we give out, it can help change your life if you apply it. That's my main thing, applying it. We can give you tools and tips all day, but if you don't apply them, then it's not going to make a difference.
It's not. And tell us about the walk. If you could give us a little information about the walk and how that was formulated.
So the Mayor for Life walk was, it started back in 2017. Mm-hmm. For the first year here in Atlanta, Georgia, but it actually started with the vision that God gave me back in 2007. Basically, when we were working to restore our marriage, God simply said to me, I want you to hold her hand. I want you to talk with her, you know, only talk about things positive, only talk about things that I promise you, and just walk with her and hold her hand every day. So the vision for the Mayor for Life walk started from that.
Yeah.
You know, so we came here to Atlanta. I told people who may be familiar with the group, New Edition of Bell Bill DeVoe. His name is Ronnie DeVoe, him and his wife. I shared with him about the vision. I shared with him about the walk. Next thing I know, he's telling people all everywhere and everything. And so, you know, we started the walk here in Atlanta. Wadrina and I thought we would probably have about 50 couples. We probably had about 350 couples. Mm-hmm. Coming from all around the country. And so, but at the Mayor for Life walk, it's just to remind couples, never give up on the hand that you are holding.
Mm-hmm.
Never let go of the hand you're holding.
Yes.
Regardless of what you're facing, you can always overcome. So we bring all couples, all diversity, black, white, Asian, mixed, all faith, denomination, no matter what you believe. If you believe in love, you believe in marriage, you believe in family, and you want to stand with other couples, you want to walk with other couples, and you want to let that message be known that we believe in being married for life, this is the group you want to come in. So it's an event. It is a walk event where we do walk for 2 miles,
yeah,
and you do have to hold hands the entire time for the 2 mile walk. So you can't run, you can't jog. You simply want to hold hands, but it's other things that we do that actually still incorporate building love and rebuilding the fire
connection.
And emotional connection, spiritual connection. And now we're adding a fun component, and we actually have like a night of dancing and comedy. It's just a full weekend of just being with other couples and just enhancing your love relationship.
Yeah.
This is our fifth year.
Yeah, this is
that's what I was just going to say. This is the fifth year and growing strong, and that's what's so important about it. You know, one of the things I want to say and just jump right into this, right, and that is, you know, we touched upon the story of Blessed Affair, and we're going to take a journey and talk about some of the key issues that not only you address in the book, but that you address in the work that you do. And the reason that I like bringing it up is for people that don't really have a sense of what this book is about. I mean, let me just share this with people. When you go open the book and you look at the table of contents in the book, you start with the journey that many of us start with, falling in love. But then you waste no time getting to facing the truth, your day of reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the key thing here is now you're walking in a place where unforgiveness is not an option. And that is like you said before, that's not just about relationship. That is about life.
Yes.
Unforgiveness is like cyanide. Is like, I didn't even know what to say about it.
Yeah.
But how'd you get there, man? Because it is that journey when you can get from unforgiveness to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that create the bedrock by which you then build upon the dream?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely does, because without forgiveness, you really can't move forward to building your love and trust in your relationship. You have to be willing to forgive, and to get there, it is a process. It's a process, but it starts with a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with you making the choice to forgive. So once you make the choice to forgive, then you can go through the process of forgiveness, because yes, it's a process. It's going to take time, and that goes to all about just really being able to not blame, you know, and to actually start being able to communicate openly and honestly and share your truth with your partner or your spouse. Because once you make that choice, then those are the steps you follow to work towards building that forgiveness in your heart.
I want to read this, Coach, and then you copy you here. time to put him in a hot seat, right? I read this from the book, from Martez Layton. It says, it is my prayer, as you read the true story of my wife and me, that you will embrace the true meaning of forgiveness in all areas of your life. Remember, it does not matter what a person has done to you in your life that has scared you, but it does matter how you will allow that, that has scarred you, but it does matter how you will allow that scar to impact your future. To allow that scar, regardless of any pain that you have endured, if you would receive Christ's love, change perspective, and forgive, your life will never be the same. Aren't you? I mean, when you hear that word, people feel that. Mm-hmm. And look at the journey you have gone on, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
No.
You must be made of titanium.
No, that's what Wadrena said, you know, but it is one of those things where we, you know, and I'm just saying this from my Christian belief, you know, we mm-hmm. think about when they talk about how the whips that Jesus took on the cross, and he had to bear those whips. He had to bear those wounds there, but those wounds let us know how much he took for us. And so in life, you have to take some scars. And, I mean, you're going to go through some things that are really going to hurt, but then you still just have to understand. But sometimes those scars and those pains is for the embellishment of the future, not only myself, but for others. Mm-hmm. And so because, honestly, the back of the book, Dr. Pat, we say, what if your wife's affair was the best thing that ever happened in your life? Mm-hmm. And honestly, for me, if there wasn't infidelity, we would be divorced. The relationship with our children and the way those things are now, and I know a lot of people, you know, you get divorced and you can still have those good relationships, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying the things that we're doing right now in our life, without mm-hmm. the infidelity, we wouldn't be here. So those scars have purpose, but those scars, if I touch that scar and I just start thinking, that was a lot of pain, mm-hmm. but that pain reminds me of the things that I've learned. It reminds me of how much God loves me, because that scar cannot stop me from my future.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it is with everything.
I mean, I get that. I mean, you all, you know, Wadrena, you invite people in this book, you know, before you even get rolling here, you invite them, you know, to literally embrace. And what you say is, I choose to allow my current emotional tragedy to become my emotional triumph. I mean, mm-hmm. this is right out of the gate. You're just saying to people, mm-hmm. say this out loud, folks. Mm-hmm. I realize during the healing process there are going to be times of extreme pain. Yeah. But I'm committed to become the best me in overcoming all the obstacles that are attempting to prevent my inner happiness, joy, and confidence. I will win this battle and be better and no longer bitter.
Yeah.
Wow. How many times, Wadrena, have you seen people go through that transform in front of your eyes?
Oh, yes, many times. Actually, yeah, because we take people through. That's the process that couples, when couples come to us, that's the process we take them through to yep. get them to that point. And like I said, it's much easier when they do have a spiritual core, but that's the process we take them through, because forgiveness is for you. It's to free you. And so you have to look at what you went through. It's painful. It hurts. But what can I learn from this? You know, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I taking away from all of this? It may be pain, but there's some good in there that you can take away from it. It's something you can learn from it. And that's what you got to build on and move forward on that.
What do you think, Coach? What do you think is the hardest part of the process? Because I went through the book again, and the things that were really, really hard are less hard for me now. But I think the one thing is, like, one thing everyone has that is their Achilles heel. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to do everything you say, but, oh, please don't ask me to do that one. Not that one. Okay. What would you say is real stumbling block for some people?
Most of the people, it's always just the thought that you broke
the bond that you and them create.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's like, which we deal with a lot of times is, you know, when we think about the bond or the circle of trust,
mm-hmm.
when that's been broken, it's always like, can that be renewed?
Mm-hmm.
Or can it ever be reestablished and be the mm-hmm. same? So it's just the thought of, it's almost as if the person that you were with, they polluted you or they're poisoning you. And I just don't know if that poison can ever get out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thought that I know the biggest challenge that people have is, can we again be one and be a strong bond?
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest, you know, can we do it again?
And how do I know they won't do it?
And how do I know they won't do it again?
Isn't that it? I mean, isn't it that thing? I mean, it could be decades later, right? And you've repaired so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, a lot of folks don't think rid of that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And what you teach is there is a way to do that.
Okay.
There is a way to repair that trust, to close that circle, to build that bond.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, Regina, isn't that exactly like the experience that you talk about in the book and that both of you share with other people now?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it can be rebuilt. It's a process, but that trust can be rebuilt because you have to realize for that trust to be broken, that means you weren't being truthful. You weren't being your true, authentic self with your partner. So basically, in rebuilding that trust, now I'm able to be transparently truthful with you. I'm sharing my truth. I'm a glass house. You can see through me. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm sharing my truth with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you're going to, you know, we're at a point now where you can receive my truth because we're rebuilding that circle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it can definitely.
Yeah. And that's a place of responsibility that you have to get to
mm-hmm.
in your relationship to be mature enough to look at yourself and really accept the fact of I wasn't being all honest.
Mm-hmm.
My spouse couldn't be totally honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're at a place where, like you say, we're just not so in love,
mm-hmm.
but we're soul in love.
Yeah.
And that soul in love is like you have to go through the doors of transparency to get there.
Yeah.
And so that transparency also involves vulnerability at a whole deeper level. And so once you do that, it's not just a soul connected or soul in love, but it's like you said, we're soul in love.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and let's talk about this for a minute if we could, because there's forgiveness and then there's restoration, as you both talk about. I want to talk about restoration. But, you know, we've talked a lot about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is not the end all.
Mm-hmm.
People think it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is like maybe someone. But let's talk about the word restoration.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know from each of you, what does that word come to mean to you, and how does it show up? What are the behavioral things? You know, Linda's my best friend. We've known each other a long time. And one of the things I learned from her is she said, look, people can talk, but I'm watching what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got your eye on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Your mouth is going like this, but, you know, you're over here and you're doing crazy town.
Yeah.
Restoration.
Yeah.
That's got to be part of what we're striving for. Regina, you want to talk first? Take that first, and then Coach Martez?
Yeah, let him finish.
He's laughing. Look.
Yeah. Because honestly, with forgiveness, that's one of the steps is actually setting your boundaries and what you expect to see, the changes that you expect to see happen in the relationship. And that's part of the restoration because in order for us to really restore this, these are the changes that I need to see. And I'm holding you accountable to these changes. I'm becoming your accountability partner because, yes, that's important that you have to see that change. That's a part of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see that change. I'm still going to forgive you, but as far as the boundaries I'm setting, in order for our relationship to be restored, I have to see those changes that I'm actually expecting you to make.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I love it. And see, and then restoration deals with like a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens also is, Dr. Patty, like you said, when we talk about forgiveness, forgiving is forgiving you for what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
But now to walk into restoration, there has to be a revision. There has to be a refreshing. There has to be restored. So what was broken has to be restored. So now that takes
new thought processes,
yeah.
new ways of thinking, new ways of communicating, new ways of affecting each other, not only from an emotional standpoint, but from an intimate standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So new ways of perspective, everything has to shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love it when you talk about that, because in restoration, you know, that's walking out now past the forgiving place
mm-hmm.
and seeing things new. So that's
mm-hmm.
why when I see my wife, I don't see a woman who cheated. I don't see a woman who broke my trust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a woman who did this. I see a woman who's building a future with me, who's building the dream that God has, because
mm-hmm.
what was broken is now restored.
Mm-hmm.
But my vision, my perspective, my mindset, my thoughts have all been renewed and restored
mm-hmm.
to where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's talk about this. You know, there are faithful behaviors and they're cheating behaviors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I want to break it down to something real simple,
okay.
right, that may or may not relate to people. But
okay.
it really talks to trust. Let's talk about this for a minute. Every movie you see where somebody doesn't trust the other person involves a cell phone. I don't care. Every movie you see, it's like they put the cell phone down, go in the bathroom, and then the partner's like, oh, cell phone, picks up
mm-hmm.
the cell. Okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is so much trust and mistrust on cell phone use, I can't even tell you. I mean, even to the point, like, we have basically a no cell phone policy.
Mm-hmm.
For our producers,
mm-hmm.
if you have time to be, like, texting all day long, then, like, okay, where's your focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember having to put that little guideline in and thinking, oh, my God, that is so out of my nature.
Mm-hmm.
That is so not like my, it's not my zodiac sign. It is not me.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you enact a policy like that? Or why would you look at your partner and spouse?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you have to have an agreement or some guideline about something like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you don't trust. You're thinking that thing is sitting over there pinging
mm-hmm.
like 24/7
mm-hmm.
and it's not talking to you about what the top 10 best pop songs are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a fundamental core issue in relationships and in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And it divides people.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you one example because we only have a few minutes left. But it's a really interesting example. I bet people have said to you, I don't know what's on his cell phone.
Of course.
But in building trust, you have to be open. And that's one thing, like, you brought that up. But honestly, that's like one of the first things we put in place with people who are healing from infidelity. Everything has to be open. You have to have each other's
passwords.
PIN numbers to the cell phone. You have to be able to be open, full access, because if not, there's no way that trust can be rebuilt since you've already broke it.
Yeah.
So that's very important, because that's where majority of them start.
Because, I mean, as good as the cell phone, as good as the internet is, we also have to be
yeah.
true and understand that's where a lot of temptation begins.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of where we are now. That's where a lot of temptation begins.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's just be really clear. You don't ever want to get caught. If you're in counseling or if you're working with Coach Martez and with Drina, you just don't want to have a session where your partner and spouse comes in and says, I found a prepaid phone.
Oh,
actually,
we had that.
Yeah,
actually, we
I know,
had that.
That's why I brought it up.
No, we had that.
I know.
No, actually, we've had a spouse come to a session, you know, before we were doing it virtually because of COVID. She came to the session. We were sitting there, put the phone on there, and then said, I would like to know, can you tell me what this is? And it was her husband's prepaid because he had another cell phone. We've had that to happen.
That is an addiction all itself. I mean, it is. I work with women in addiction and recovery, so I understand mm-hmm. addiction
yeah.
quite a bit. And I tell you, it is so addicting that people don't even understand that they are having an intimate relationship by texting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're having an emotional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's real, Dr.
Yeah.
Pat.
That is for real.
That's for real.
I hope you do a show talking about those emotional relationships that you don't think you're having through your cell phone.
Look, right. Brain is right again.
Right. I mean, it's no different. It's
no different.
It's still infidelity.
Because doesn't it point to, I'm going to go to this person because I am not getting it out of here.
Right.
You know, I have a friend that, you know, their whole company is like no cell phones. And I asked her about that. She says no different than emotional relationship that you have texting. Mm-hmm. She said, if I've got a team of people that is supposed to be collecting or supposed to be doing something mm-hmm. and they're texting, there's something missing in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a relationship, that means people are trying to fill a void. But don't you both, in the couple minutes we have left, don't you help people see that they could fill that void with love, Coach?
Definitely. Oh, definitely. I mean, that's the key to understand. When you have that soulmate, you have what we call that destiny partner.
Mm-hmm.
There is purpose. There's relationship. There's connection. There is meaning. There's fulfillment that's actually inside the other person mm-hmm. for you. There's definitely that. To fill that void, it just begins with going at a deeper level of transparency and vulnerability to be exposed. But once that happens, going to be there.
Yeah.
That's how the reason
we
to work together, which we've done for years.
Yeah.
And they say, you don't get tired of working with your wife? I'm like, I don't. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saying all the right things today, isn't he?
Yes, he always does.
Or, Thank you both. Look, I know we got a minute or so left. Please let folks know how to connect with you, how to work with you. Tell them about your upcoming show, which I can't wait to hear that show. But tell us how, all of the above, would you?
So if you're interested in working with us, our website is dreambuilderscoaching.net. We're on Facebook, Dream Builders Marriage Coaching and Counseling. Instagram at Coach Martez, Edward Rena Layton. Twitter at Coach Martez, Edward Rena L. And also, our show is right here every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio, 2 p.m. Central and 12 p.m. Pacific. The Coach Martez and Adrena Layton Show, Understanding Truth.
Understanding love, accepting truth,
understanding love, accepting truth, and perspective. Yeah, you don't want to miss it because I'm telling you, it's always something good.
Oh, my God, it is always something good. And you know what? I never know what it's going to be. Coach, let me ask you this question. What do you both want to leave us with today? What's your personal message here? What do you want to say?
Oh, but then I want to add one thing. And to find out more about the Married for Life Walk, it's married4lifewalk.com. That's that website to find out more information.
And that's coming up in April.
April.